Justin.
I'm Bruce.
And this is
The Break-Ins!
Episode 36.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, I'm back.
You are?
Yep. And I...
You finally missed one.
Yeah, it happened.
And then Mike misses this one.
Yeah.
A lot of our listeners are going to think you and Mike are the same guy.
I don't have that deep voice.
Do you consider Mike's voice deep?
Deeper than mine.
I don't know.
Oh, I guess the first thing we should talk about, I was thinking about this, is the real reasons why we're not going to the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Is that...
Yeah,
not...
you can go ahead and talk about it all you want. I'm done. Although, I would like to say that the Crankcast I listened to part of, they were talking about Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about another podcast. That's, I want to hear it.
Well, they're excited about it this year.
Oh, okay.
Because they felt that the last 2 years it wasn't very... very large. They're like, it was a hotel show, just not in a hotel. But this year, they've got a lot of A-listers.
Yeah.
And then they go on and Crank's like, yeah, I'm not going. But Mike and them will be there.
Well,
so
I only mentioned it because I thought it was really funny. And when I listened to the podcast right away, I thought it was hysterical. And it was good to step back and get a fresh opinion. One that I wasn't...
Listen to the magic instead of being part of the magic.
Yeah, it was really fun. And I gotta make the mental note. I gotta bring this up right away. But anyway, that's it. So we're not talking about it because you're
still not talking about it.
We're done. That's all that mattered.
Yep.
Yeah, and I thought that was a really good way to say it. But we went out. I think you guys did really well with that podcast. Besides the hate mail.
Justin's referring to Dutch chocolate
and
the way that person, he, she, it, referred to me and Mike as assholes.
I think it's just someone causing trouble.
I hope it's actually that dude.
You think it's the dude?
I don't know.
Now, the dude, because I really don't think the dude, I don't think this person.
I never bothered looking up his name.
We talked for a couple seconds.
I tried to talk to him because I had to walk.
Yeah.
Near him in order to go and pee and stuff. And he was just like, hey, whatever. Sit there with his arms crossed.
I think we're pros.
So, I don't know.
Well, I try not to think, you know, less of myself.
That's a lie.
So, well, when I want to.
I'm an A number one amateur.
Oh, that's good. Well, you know, we get in the cool rooms.
We do. Through bribery and intimidation.
You should have seen all the artists up in the bathroom this year. Not good. Okay, anyhow, so that's enough about conventions. But tonight's episode is brought to you by anything that Bruce and Justin put out.
Yeah.
Or actually, draw, or right, I guess put out. Another thing.
Hey, that's for sale, too.
That's right.
I could use some money.
Yeah. Me too. So that's really what tonight's episode is going to be about. Buy our shit.
Yeah.
That's the title.
Yeah.
And you know, you can name it what you want, this, but that's my little goal.
This all came about because we had 800 listeners on the one podcast. And on average, we've been doing like 150 on each podcast. But we sell, what, 10, 15 books at each convention?
Right.
We don't sell jack online. I got my crappy little store set up, and you've been soliciting commissions. So people are listening. They're just not willing to spend money. So we thought we would talk up what we're selling to the people who are listening. Now, instantly, probably 120 people just stopped the podcast.
Spam.
Yeah, this is the spam podcast. It's a 45-minute commercial.
Well, I think you have some good points. I mean, it's kind of like tumbleweeds when it comes to us doing any kind of sales. I don't know if they do change it at shows. What separates us from the other guys?
I think it's recognition. Mm-hmm. Not of us, but of our product. Mm-hmm. I think we don't have Archie behind us, clearly. You can't look across the aisle and be like, oh, it's those guys, or hey, they're drawing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to keep beating the dead horse, but I will. There's fellas out there who have the 101 prints of all the DC characters and all that. Mm-hmm. From 100 feet away, you'd be like, oh, okay, that guy's got, Shazam and the entire Wildcats lineup and most of the X-Men for what, like $20 a pop.
Right.
Well, you walk over to our table, and I'm selling Johnny Cash and a cowboy with a poem written across him. Mm-hmm. Other things people don't want to buy.
I don't. I see plenty of people walking around with tons of stuff, but you're private. So, what do we have? What do we offer? Well, I guess we'll talk about me first.
Well, let's start with you. We'll devote this segment.
All right.
Actually, did you want to go ahead and take a break?
No.
I mean, we're only 5 minutes. Yeah, I didn't know if you. Okay. Well, I want to give you your full 15.
I think I only need a 6.
Okay. Here are the two things.
It's actually been 10 years, and I haven't really done much in a long time, but it's been 10 years this month for Gemini Cereal. I launched it.
Yeah, but you've done a lot of things after that.
Right, but...
Now you had talked in the past about some sort of 10-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Not gonna,
now, yeah, but, no. Now, do you have all the original art?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, lettered and stuff?
Well, depends on how I had lettered it at the time. Cause sometimes I was printing it out, putting it on a sheet of paper and then taping it on to the actual board.
How many pages would you say all of Gemini Cereals has put together?
Well, issues 24 through issues 25 through 32 were almost 100, it was 99 pages. And then before that were about 7, 12 issue pages each one. So it's another 24 times, let's just say 24 times 7. That's 140, 128, 168. So about almost 200, roughly, let's just say with free comic book day issues and stuff like that. A little under 200 pages.
So if you were to collect this, it would be 200 pages.
Yeah. But there's just so much background with Gemini Cereals that is iffy for me.
Well, I would think, you know, whatever you do, it's a dedication to Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The co-creator.
Right.
The co-founder, whatever.
Co-creator. Okay. Harvey, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you did things.
He helped launch it, definitely. Yeah. And he definitely with several issues, he co-created characters.
Yeah. I think it would just, God knows how much it would cost to do 200 pages black and white.
Right. I don't know. I'd actually probably have to re-letter, everything. I would just take forever.
Now, if you go back, because I found with trying to get Clobber ready for digital distribution, if you allow yourself to go back, you'll never be done.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason that it's taken me like 6 weeks to get everything ready for distribution. Because I keep going back saying, well, I should change this. I should add that.
Right.
And I should have never opened up that can of worms.
I did partially that with Tim Risen when I collected it. I guess it's something else to talk about. But I went back and re-edited lettering, font styles and commas.
Verbiage.
And things like that. I try not to change it too much. But if I thought a comma was in the wrong place, and I think now looking back, I actually messed up that too. Or sound special effects. I tweaked it enough. And that way I could sell it actually as, hey, you have the regular issues. I know one guy's like, well, I don't have the individual issues for the last two. I said, well, just buy the collection. I mean, it's got better stuff than what you have already. Gemini Cereals. I mean, I still, I'm still Gemini Cereals Productions. I still, list stuff as that. I don't list anything as Whack Comics Productions unless it's for Tim Risen.
No. My son is angry.
Yeah. He wants Gemini Cereals.
He wants to come down here.
Storyboard work. I did that. So people can hire me to do storyboards.
Yeah.
So that.
How did you fall into that?
They found me.
Okay.
Because of Gemini Cereals. Because they asked around about who could do artwork, and my name came up in a couple different places, and then they contacted me. But that hasn't taken off. After that one.
Did the movie do well?
It's doing very well at independent festivals and everything. It hasn't had I think it's been, I don't know all the details, I think it's been bought for
the distribution.
Mass distribution. But I don't know all the details.
Has the director done anything else?
No, I think he's planning on something next.
Okay. Because you've got an in there.
Yeah, that's good. I would like, hopefully, that I would get more work from other people. I have no idea how to spread that word. But I definitely had a lot of fun doing that. It was like a dream come true, seeing your name up on the big screen.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was a nice paying job. I guess, I mean, I'm still selling Tim Bison, even though I don't really plan on printing more.
Why not? Because you didn't take any to Derby.
Right, I took one. You took one. I don't really have a lot left. And I'm going to hold on to them. You know, so I can have a couple my own. Yeah, you know, I don't really plan on making any more. It's just, it's very costly.
It is.
I guess Tim Risen TRTC2's talks down the road. We'll talk about that. Then there's Matt's work. I do Matt.
Yeah. I'm working on some stuff for him right now.
That's fantastic.
Well, hey, now you were working on stuff for him, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't have anything coming from him, so.
Matt Wells gone dry.
He just gave me two things.
Yeah.
But these are the first two things.
I wonder what two things it is. We'll talk about that. Are you taking money from my...
Not intentionally.
Yeah. And then I just have commissions. I have
How's that going? Now, you did one for friend of the show.
Right.
Christine.
Yeah, that was... And that's definitely falls more under the commercial commission than like a fan art kind of commission, because she bought the rights to it, as opposed to me having the rights to like the Walking Dead cover.
Yeah,
that's more under a fan art commission.
Right.
But yeah, no, I've been promoting it. Steph's promoted it. My friend Allison promoted it. No, it's not taken off. I had this delusions of grandeur in my head where I was going to be swamped with commissions. People were always coming up and saying, hey, Justin, can we get a commission? How much do you charge? Oh, I don't know. I never really thought about it. So I did some research. I set some prices. And it's been nothing. So I'm hoping I'll just keep promoting it until I get some bites.
Maybe are you posting on different message boards or forums? Or
no, whatever? I guess I can do that. Yeah, I guess that's a good idea. I just did on the Facebook thing. Am I Justin Watson? Well, I guess I can't do notes on Justin Watson Facebook. So I had to link it to my actual Justin site? Watson. No, my Facebook. No one goes to JustinWatson.com.
I still have a link on my website.
Yeah.
And I try to mention it every other podcast, at least.
No one's going to it. And no one's apparently going to Justin Watson.
You own it for another year, don't you?
Still trying to get rid of it. That's it. I mean, we'll talk about later about actually ask people why they should buy my stuff. you know, I'll read it right now. I'll read it right now. Why not? How much time am I doing?
You're good.
All right, good. So this is from our friend Seth from I guess Seth of the what? Kentucky Seths?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great guy. And let's see if I can pull up his information here.
This was a response on Twitter?
Yes, this was a Twitter response. I asked him and his brother, the biggest fan.
I need to scan that fan art and post it with this one, I guess.
That's pretty good. But Seth said, if you want to purchase a new spark of genius from you guys, then it's a must. I have no skill with a pencil, but I love them. He also stated the detail is amazing when Justin drew me as a tribute from The Hunger Games.
Yep.
All he had to do was research the look, and bam, genius, crazy awesome. So these are the kind of responses I would like to give many people. And they looked at my commissions of any character. I'm even willing to do
the entire cast of Thundercats.
Yeah, I would gladly do that. That guy's Cool. Let's see. And then I have one more person. This person's pretty amazing to me. If I can pull it up here. Let's see.
Nothing more exciting than listening to someone scroll.
I know. We need some hold music or something. You want to say something? Keep that.
Wow, you got the, you seriously got nothing.
I got nothing.
I think you should always keep Tim Risen in print. Mm-hmm. I think you need to explore cheaper avenues of printing. We talked before about what was that online printing place? We looked it up together. What was that? But I thought they had some decent pricing. Because right now you're going through
Office Depot. No,
Office Depot.
Well, I will let you, like, I mean, it's kind of actually about upcoming stuff that we'll talk about later. Actually, I had some ideas about expanding out to a different format.
Okay.
Something I was going to discuss with Mike, had he decided not to jump ship.
Well, no, he had a medical emergency, right. much like you had last time.
Yes. My hair piece is working out fine.
It's good to see the alopecia's cleared up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Would alopecia clear up? Or would it recede? I don't know.
It was a terrible, terrible affliction I had since birth.
It was a dark time.
Yes. Oh, not dark enough. Well, so this was written by a friend of the show, and they said that because I'm newly married and I have a family to support, they should buy my stuff.
Going the guilt route.
Mm-hmm. I like it. And because I'm an amazing artist and I dedicate a lot of time and effort into each piece of work that I do, I include my details, my cleanliness, and I go above and beyond what is asked of me, and I never fail to impress.
Is it your cleanliness as a person or as an artist?
Well, I do put deodorant on
before I draw.
I mean, I'm perspiring a lot. And the art might stink, but I don't want myself to. So, because I tend to get, I mean, I'm, you know, it's tough. It's
you
tough.
Do this in watercolor? No, that's sweat.
Take the brush, put it in my armpit. So that's it. That was the only people that responded to my Facebook and Twitter.
That's more people than I had respond.
Yeah, because I put your name on there. I put
no one cares.
Mike's, yeah, they don't.
No one gives a crap.
Because
and it. I think part of what you're limiting yourself to, Facebook-wise, mm-hmm. is other struggling people. If we knew anyone successful who was willing to extend a hand, mm-hmm. then we wouldn't be doing this podcast about trying to break into comics. We'd be doing a podcast about how we've already broken in.
Mm. Hey, when we do break in, on that magical day where unicorns roam the earth, are we going to change the name to Broken In?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
Because at that point, we're continuing. We're trying to stay broken in.
Oh, okay.
We're maintaining the break, I guess. I don't know.
All right. Well, speaking of breaks.
We should take one?
We should take one.
Okay.
It's going great.
Yeah. Except for that technical glitch.
Yeah. Oh, well.
We will be right back.
Well, hey there, pilgrims. Won't you head on over to justinwasson.com? Check out some Gemini serials, whack comics, little guy, and... Hell, you can even find some other copies of this great podcast. That's justinwasson.com.
Hey, we're back, and this is all about Bruce.
Kinda.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, you're here.
Oh, yeah. I'll just sit and
watch I talked during your segment.
You did?
I didn't notice. No, you brought me in. I heard you telling me you're
I
so
said
pretty.
I two words.
You're such a good artist. So attractive. No, that's Pritchard.
Mike says hi.
Does he?
Yes.
Okay.
He misses us.
Hi, Mike.
Okay. I'll send him a text.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Oh, this is all about you and your stuff that you produce now, not the stuff that you're going to produce.
Okay.
It's very tough.
Okay.
Because,
well, I have my crappy little storefront mm-hmm. set up on BruceOHughes.com, mm-hmm. which I've never sold a single thing on. I guess I need to update that. Like, I don't have the first issue of Iron and Ink update. I got my old standard prints. Up there, the Captain America, the Thor, stuff like that. my Dr. Creek print. I actually have a thing where you can buy one of each print available for like $15 plus shipping, which I think it's a good deal. And one of each print. And I'm selling Clobber individual issues, and I'm selling the trade. And I'm still, I feel like such a slack ass for saying it, but I'm still working on getting digital distribution for Clobber. I came up with the studio name, the publisher's name, Broken Comics.
Yeah.
Got a logo for that. I got that registered in the Graphically system. But I'm trying to go back and add like supplemental stuff. Like I'm adding your back covers you did, because I didn't have room for them before because I was poor. But now that I'm not paying by the page, Graphically charged, it's $150 a book. Whether the book is 4 pages or 400 pages, it's $150. So I'm trying to add everything I can in to justify paying $150 to try to sell this comic and potentially making $1.50 off of it.
Well, Steph really liked that Broken Comic. I know I gave you a hard time anyway, but I showed everyone in the house and they're all like, "Oh, I love it." Like, what does it say, Broken Comic?
It's my desktop picture.
So there you go.
That's how official I feel about it.
Oh, boy.
And I'm probably going to start putting that on, like, issue 2 of Iron and Ink will have that on. And if anyone says anything, but yeah, I got picked up by a comic book publisher. Did you? Yes. It's mine. But,
boss is great.
He's such an a-hole. Like I said, I need to put Iron and Ink out there on my store. But I sold some digital copies of that, and people have commented. Oh. You notice how many people have commented? Have you been going and reading the comments?
Yeah, I read. I go there at least, I would say every day.
Yeah.
Every couple days, I go to BruceLeeHughes.com. BruceLeeHughes.com. And I look at the comments, see if there's any updates. Sometimes I send you a message saying,
hey,
why aren't there updates? I'm sure there must be something here. I can't just be me.
I don't check every day. Because there's seriously 30, 40 spams a day. People want to sell us larger penises.
Right.
Or prescription drugs. Or, like, bootleg iPads. Not just that. That gets disappointing to look at that stuff.
I can imagine. Maybe.
I mean, if that's the only thing anyone ever said to you.
Right. Well,
imagine every conversation you have for one whole day just being, hey, your dick could be bigger.
Right.
Hey, your dick could be bigger. Wouldn't that bring you down?
No.
You're like, no, that's every day for me. That's why I quit that nudist colony.
Yeah. I think you have a lot of great stuff. And
I talked to Sean Bourne about going back and trying to sell some of the old stuff. And then, like, he got... We were supposed to meet for dinner, and something happened. So I... Because I still have... most of the work me and him did.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to try to like split it with him. Maybe not sell it, but give it away, because that just feels stupid that those comics are laying around.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, that's a lot of material I could sell. So it looks like I have more, but I don't know if having more is actually a good thing or not, because then I wouldn't be able to focus on the individual products.
Now, when you're at a convention, would you feel... how would you feel about having your older work right next to your current work?
It's so different. It would probably look like a different person drew it, and I'd be fine with that.
Okay.
It's different material. It is drawn by a different version of me at that point, so.
Right. I mean, that's how I kind of...
I haven't fully talked to Eric about all this or anything.
Yeah,
he could shoot it down, but...
I hope not.
Because we still have stuff for sale at Mavericks.
Yeah.
On that wall that no one ever buys anything from.
Someone came in, a friend of mine said, oh yeah, I was at Mavericks and I thought you put out a new book. Turns out someone just put their book in front of yours.
I too am doing stuff for Brassfield like we just talked.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I didn't steal work from you.
No. That's good.
Well, if we get a line up, like, two more people like Brassfield, I think that'd be a heck of a start.
Well, I would like to see, I mean, it's all very hush-hush what we do for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I never know when I'm allowed to talk about right. any of it. Some things I've seen him post on Facebook, and I'm like, whoa, he never told me I could talk about that. So I need to go back and update my website, I guess, and post the last VHS cover I did for him.
I did the Dracula thing, and I think it maybe it was almost a year before it was finally out there.
Yeah. And he's still a good guy to know. So, man, if he hits it big, we'll just tag along with him.
That's right. Ragu's coattails. Baron Von Coattails.
Baron Von Coattails. What? I told you my segment would be short.
Right. Well, you know, if these are short segments. That's not bad. It's not bad to have short segments for once. I'm happy with that. I'm sure our listeners are happy with that. So what do you want to do? You want to talk about what else we have going on?
Let's go ahead and hit a break.
Hit a break. Man, this is awesome.
I know.
It's fantastic. We might actually get through the end of the podcast.
I blame part of it on, I'm tired.
It's fine.
Staying up doing stupid stuff.
Good stuff for you.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
Who can turn a heart with a smile? Who can take a blank page and make it all seem worthwhile? Simmons can. Scott D. and Simmons can. So that you'll always know it. Give his website a little click, and his smile will show it. NotSimmons.com, ScottDMSimmons.com, ScottDMSimmons.com.
Hey, we're back and talking about the future of myself and Bruce's work.
And comics in general.
Comics, yeah.
Ow!
Yeah.
All right, segment 3.
This is exciting.
Here we go.
The exciting part, not the boring of why
we're going to fire. No one's going to sit through those first 2 seconds.
I wouldn't. I don't think Mike will.
I don't think Mike's listened to any podcast.
You know,
he hasn't been on.
Ryan. Listen to. By the way, Ryan, if you are listening to this, I challenge you to review each of our podcasts. A essay, if you will.
No.
This is my challenge to him.
No.
He doesn't have to do it. He's a busy man.
He's working on his own comics now.
Then at least give a star system.
That's fair. That's fair. That's very
cool. Three heads. Right, Bruce, Mike, you know, depending on how many heads.
What?
It's like a thumbs up.
Okay. Know? So, like, 3's good.
Right.
0's bad. Right. 1's...
It doesn't have to be a particular person is bad.
Unlistenable.
Yeah.
2's adequate.
I guess 1 would be Mike.
1.
Yeah.
But what would 2 be?
We'll fight for it. We'll let Ryan decide.
Yeah, it's up to him.
Yeah, it's up
his
to him.
His decision.
But yeah, I challenged him too, because, you know, I would really say that there was a couple good ones to begin with. I think it really took off when we started recording here. I do particularly like the last one that I edited with the Buffy music. It was very short, condensed.
It took you forever to edit those, though.
2 weeks.
Yeah, sometimes. See, that's...
I've
got it down to about 45 minutes.
Yeah, and I would be frustrated with it. But the point is, I challenged him to give reviews. If he's our best listener, and I don't want
to. I think you're trying to chase him away.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying, you know. I'm going to put the, you know, never mind. No. I said something on a best chocolate thing, and it kind of comes off as a thing against everyone else, and kind of it is.
Say it. Go ahead and say it.
I like people to use their real names. I want everyone to use their real names. I'm not saying you have to use real. It's your website. You're the man in charge.
Have you been watching The Newsroom on HBO?
No. I just prefer people to use...
Yeah, Jeff Daniels had a nice thing on the last episode of The Newsroom.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I'm not going to say that we got a comment from viewer Lollipop Lollipop. What the fuck is Lollipop Lollipop's real name? Do you know if it's a basset hound? An old Nazi? Who is it?
I mean, some of these people, I think this person's real name must be...
Dutch Chocolate.
Dutch Chocolate. I mean, if I met him in real life, I'd say, hey, Scotchy.
Yeah.
What's up, Scotchy? I mean, I think these, you know, and that's why I made sure I made in the comment that it was a negative comment, right? Because I would be like, well, I just kind of like slapped everyone in the face. But I would prefer, I really prefer real names.
A lot of people like anonymity.
Yeah. And
do you remember when everyone had a MySpace and not a Facebook? Yeah. The way in MySpace you could change your name all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. People liked that.
I remember meeting someone.
There are a lot of my friends nowadays on Facebook. They have Facebooks under, like, the names of their dogs or something. Like, people don't feel comfortable going on the internet under their real name sometimes.
Or at least email me personally, GeminiCereals@sbcglobal.net.
How do you still have SBC
Global? Let me tell you something funny here. I know we're on a tangent now.
Do you pay for that?
I don't know.
SBC Global?
So, I told someone, gosh, I don't know. But they are, it's funny. You should have realized your mistake. Send me an email at, this is my Mac account, at GeminiCereals@me.com. And they said, okay, they sent me some Facebook replies saying that it's not working. I keep getting it back. And they said, wait a minute. Do you mean GeminiCereals@me.com? They were sending it at GeminiCereals@GeminiCereals. But me, M-E was me. It was hysterical. Finally, I got the stuff that I needed.
Well, no, when I first set up BruceLeeHughes.com, they're like, oh, what's your website? I said, it's myname.com.
Uh-huh.
My name, M-Y-N. I'm like, no, it's my name.
Right.
BruceLeeHughes.com. It's not myname.com. It's my name.
That's hysterical. Oh, I love people. Okay, so what are we going to produce? And I'll set the timer now, and I'll just add another 5 or 6 minutes onto it.
We're good.
What are we producing?
What are we producing to sell?
Right.
Because some of our work, like the Brassfield work and some of your commissions, I mean, those are one-off things, right?
Right.
I mean, that's not going to help us down the road.
No.
You know? It's the same reason I don't like doing sketches. Stuff like that. Like, if I can't package it later on. Me and Mike already talked a little about what you and him have coming up. Why don't you go ahead and expand upon that for us?
We're, couldn't come up with any funny jokes in the last second. Like, we're true adventures.
The history of Bukkake. That's what it is. The illustrated history of Bukkake.
Serious research. We're spending 20 months on a
project. We got a grant.
It's going to be fantastic.
No,
no one will buy it.
It's the pages that are going to be stuck together permanently. That's on purpose. Yeah. We did that.
I announced officially on Facebook that we're in pre-production, not production. Make sure it's very clear. Pre-production.
So right now you're scouting for locations.
Yes, we are. We're just talking about ideas.
You did some makeup test.
Mm-hmm. For Tim Risen and the Chronologist 2, or TRTC2. Not really sure.
I would not shorten it, because that...
I think between us, to communicate, call it TRTC2.
Because that sounds like one of the bounty hunters from Star Wars.
Oh, well, that's none of the bounty hunters from Star Wars. But we... that's how we refer to each other. Tim Risen, the Chronologist 2, and the sequel to Tim Risen, the Chronologist, even though...
Do you have a subtitle yet?
No. I want to do, like, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's 5 issues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But hang on, now, did you have a subtitle for the first arc in this, then?
Nope.
So on the trade, it just says Tim Risen.
Compilation. Yeah.
So
maybe the second compilation.
The subtitle is Compilation.
Compilation Part 2.
That's horrible.
Compilation Book of Shadows.
I would just say, if you're not going to come up with a subtitle, which I strongly suggest you do come up with a subtitle, then just call it like Book 2 or Issues 6 through 10 or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, don't call it Compilation
2. Well, I didn't want to call it the trade paperback or whatever. So I wanted something different than the trade collection. So I went to Compilation. But anyhow.
I can't believe you didn't name the first one.
No, we didn't. Well, I'm sorry. Where were you? Shooting off ideas. I mean, we're using one of your main line in the first issue that you gave us.
I don't want to
ruin it.
Yeah.
But your line helped inspire. I took it, and then I went with the first. You know, took it.
Yeah.
And I went with it. So well, you'll get.
Hey, man, I'm still here.
You'll get a credit.
I'm still here. If you need me,
that's right.
I'll be your Ray. I'll show up, baby.
Well,
send your car.
All right. Well, I may need you. So,
I know a guy. Seriously, if you need a car, I know a guy.
But I'm thinking, and I haven't had a chance to talk with Mike officially. So this is Mike you're finding out if you're listening to this.
Congratulations.
An actual size comic book.
Yeah.
Instead of a mini, even though the completest mini would rather say a mini for to mess to go along with the other mini. But I think this would be the graduation. I'm treating this as the Godfather 2.
Let's say that you do get issue 1 done by April of next year.
Right.
Which, very realistic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, heaven knows what's going to pop up in our life. I would like to see you go back and reprint the first trade. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little larger. Maybe a little nicer printing.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe. I want to do gray tones. I've been looking at Mad Magazine with the artist Mort Drucker. And
that's such a weird place to pull inspiration from.
Well, I got these Mad Magazines. And I was reading Walking Dead. And I was like, But then I got these Mad Magazines. And he does this thing with whites, blacks, and grays, which is, you know, depending on who the what the important part of the
piece is. Yeah.
And he really uses them, I think, rather well. So I've been
Why don't you look at Darwin Cook's Parker stuff?
I guess I'll have to track that down to the library. So.
No, I know a guy. I know a guy who can hook you up with something.
Okay.
I'm that guy. Okay. I'm that guy that knows guys.
I know the guys.
Exactly.
But I want to do it. I mean, I'd like to do it a lot bigger. I'd like to do 20 pages, you know, actual comic book.
Yeah.
To actually make it.
You got to stay grounded. You got to stay realistic.
Something. So.
I mean, you said so yourself.
Right.
You've got a lot of shit going on. Yeah, Mike's got a lot of shit going on. Hopefully, Mike's wife's okay.
Well, I've been thinking about the story that we've been talking about for the first issue.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm not going to try and give away any plot, too much plot points, but the five issues are, I feel, more connected than, as of right now, in discussion, in our pre-production talks, are more connected with
than
the last, where they were more jumbled.
Yes.
More jumbled. Where it's the first, fifth, we'll call first issues, fifth issue, but it's really five.
Okay.
Ten. Are the bookends. And then it's a really big three-parter in the middle. But the bookends are the first and last issue. So we really have a lot of the groundwork laid out, but it's really just a lot of talking, going back and forth of things that we want, I want, he wants, what, you know, whatever happens. Who knows when we'll start writing it? I don't know. Right now it's all talk. It's all talk, but it's good. I feel positive about it.
Yeah.
I've made designs of the main character from the first issue.
Not knock out a promotional piece, a cover or something.
Yeah.
It's good to have ideas and it's good to have things written out. It's good to talk, but draw.
Well, I did that with
gray tone, right? I mean,
Tim Rising.
Make it real.
3, 4, and 5. I did the covers without having the issues out, and I put them on the back of issue 2. And that actually kind of locked me
in. I know. I did a cover for issue 6. It was...
But it was for issue 1. I wanted to do issue 1. It was a great cover. Trust me.
The Pawns of Colin.
Okay, so that's it. Tim Rising and the Chronologist 2. I'm still hoping to do more storyboard work down the road.
I would get back in touch with that guy. And for your commissions, I would disseminate your name and a couple of pictures you've done on the internet.
Right. That's a good idea.
There's a couple different forums here and there.
I want to do, eventually, do your cover.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on page 13.
All right. And when's that? When? I mean, we'll get to talk about that. But I really like to see the whole. I like to.
You want to see the whole thing?
Then I kind of go from there.
Okay. Not there yet.
I mean, the thing that inspired me to do the last cover was reading it. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I know something now. It's almost kind of like a composer sees the whole movie, and then, you know, you've directed the whole movie now. Kind of, not, I guess I'm feeling like I'm composing it. But I mean, it's inspiring me to create something. That's what I'm trying to say. It inspires me.
Well, I'll get there eventually.
Speaking of Mad Magazine, I want to ask you, do you think those guys get, like, a copy of the movies before? I mean, they usually come out the same month. Do you think they're sent?
I don't know. They are
sent, like, pictures, and then
They are the general Time Warner.
Yeah, they do all kinds.
Oh, it's Warner Brothers. I don't know. Or maybe that's just based on trailers.
That can't be it, because there's so many interesting. I mean, I'm going back and reading these old Mads, and there's got to be some way that they're being contacted. I mean, it's got the adaptation people. They get sent the scripts and
stuff. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I'm just amazed. I can't figure out how they do it.
Or how they did it, since you're looking at old ones.
Yeah, 1978.
Jesus.
Found one with a Star Wars sing-along tribute. And then another one from 90, because it had Star Trek, all Star Trek motion pictures. And including the Next Generation first season, where they made fun of the show not being popular.
Yeah. But they were wrong.
They were wrong. But I think this was, I think they pulled this from the first season, which was 86 days.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's what I'm working on. And so yeah, buy my commissions. I know I need to feed all the kids in my family. I'm getting a collection here. So.
Like a pack of wolves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I thought, you know, the Pitts and the Jolies, they got theirs. I'm going to see if I can match it.
Adopt some other kids.
That's right.
Each color of the rainbow.
What about you, Bruce? What do you have coming?
Well, working on the Brassfield stuff right now. I just did some work. I just actually did a commission. I'm going to get paid in cookies for it.
Right.
I drew a picture of a sexy pig. For somebody. Mm. For they're in like a barbecuing competition next weekend.
Was Jessica Simpson hard to draw or?
Okay. I went with a snub nosed Audrey Hepburn, Breakfast at Tiffany's. I went classy. Huh. That's what I did. But anyway, finish up the things with for Brassfield, and I want to finish Iron and Ink 2. And depending on where Mike is and his schedule, I'd like to try to sneak in some of mine and his little solo project in between 2 and 3 of Iron and Ink.
Are you working on anything with anyone else?
Any other comics? I was working on that one comic with Jason Adams, mm-hmm. and he kind of just drifted off from it. Started, you know, sending me pages more and more irregularly. He's still an amazing artist. I'd still love to work with him on it, but I'm not going to hound him about it. If he doesn't want to do it, if he's lost interest, then it's up to him. I mean, it's no loss to me. I'm going to keep doing what I do. I only have control over myself, and even then, I don't have complete control. Because I will let me get away with shit that I wouldn't let anyone else get away with.
Right.
I'd like to talk a little bit about what me and Mike have... just talked in text and on Facebook, and very little in person. In person, I pitched him the idea of format. Instead of doing a comic page by page, I said, what if we did one continuous sheet of paper? Like where it's a scroll where you unwrap the comic as you go. And you could either do something horizontal, which would lend itself to, you know, one giant chase scene. Or if you did it vertical, and you can have somebody like descending down to lower, uh-huh. like going to hell or like in a mine or something. And we talked a little bit about that. We actually sketched out some stuff. I'm like, I don't know if you could keep the pace and have good storytelling. And then I looked into how much that would cost, and it would be insanely expensive because they charge by the square foot whenever you're printing anything off of a, what do you call it? A spool, a reel, a roll, wherever you're printing anything off a roll. So, the comic, we talked about doing something 6 inches by 6 feet, and that was going to be like $30.
A pop?
Wow, there's no way we could sell that. So then we just started talking about doing something slightly more traditional, and we'd had a long conversation in between elements of the podcast last time about things we liked about Star Trek and Legion of Superheroes. Hmm. So... I came up with the nugget of an idea, sent it to him, he's made some changes, and I think we have our own Star Trek Legion of Superheroes idea, where it'll be something set in space, and it'll have a minimal crew of, you know, 3 to 7 people, and it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying not to think too much about it, because I fucked Mike over with Iron and Ink.
Yeah.
Because that was supposed to be something we were going to work on. And Mike joined his feet getting back with me. Which he said I spooked him. Because it's like, hey, let's do a Western. And then, like, 3 days later, he's like, what do you think about a shootout? And then a week later, I'm like, what if it involves an artifact that changes space and time around it? And one person's the combination of all these other people. And, hey, there should be a pterodactyl. And he told me, he's like, I opened up that email and said, what the fuck? I can't do this. So I'm trying to not push too hard. I'm trying not to let myself overthink it yet. I want to make sure it is a complete 50-50 break with Mike on this.
Yeah, I want to say that Mike's really come a long way in the last, you know, couple months with participating, and I'm really proud of him. You know, he came through with my request to watch Godfather 1 and 2.
Not 3, though, huh? Saving that for the third collection?
No. Actually, I did come up with an idea for the third collection. Oh, no. But, no, I it's because 1 and 2... Basically, it's kind of like Dark Knight and Batman Begins, or I'm trying to think of other sequels that take the characters and keep them going.
Like Muppets Movie, Muppets Take Manhattan.
I don't think so.
Not at all.
No. Unlike a sequel where it's exact. Almost, some people say, oh, it's just like the first movie.
Yeah. You know? You want to continue.
And I felt like number 3, as much as I like number 3, and a lot of people bash it, was more along the lines of being a repeat of number 1 than number 2. So it doesn't get my point across. Does it? Yeah.
I've never seen any of these movies.
Well, that the general idea. I'm trying to think of any other sequels. I mean, Dark Knight I thought was kind of a its own movie. It took off from Batman Begins and didn't repeat Batman. You could have easily repeated Batman Begins. I mean, look at Batman Returns versus Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forever.
Or any of the Batmans. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a certain formula. So, but actually, that might be another podcast. So I'm excited. That's I don't know. Is that it?
I feel like we've let people down. Like we haven't had much to say.
That's fine. I think we break out a couple podcasts tonight.
Yeah.
I'll be happy.
Okay.
Okay.
But I mean, the gist of it is,
buy our shit.
Yeah. This is what we worked on. Mm-hmm. You know, we should probably like describe our books or something.
Let's do that right now.
Uninitiated.
Let's try that. Tim Rising. You will not describe my book. You are not describing my
book. Then you do it. Tim Rising, the Chronologist.
It's basically Quantum Leap meets Schindler's List. Oh, wait. No, I got that on my head. I've heard it so many times.
Did you listen to the part where I said there has to be a character in the next one called Schindler?
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard the whole thing. Tim Rising, the Chronologist.
Mike was here for like 4 hours. I don't know what made it in the podcast and what didn't. Oh. We just bullshitted a lot of the time off the record. He was here forever.
Tim Rising, the Chronologist is a time travel story about real people. What happened to real people time travel. It's very confusing, actually.
These people are not like classically trained. They don't have a prime directive.
No.
That's what you mean by real. Yeah. These aren't like space marines or anything. No.
And there's we can't do this kind of thing. But they actually do it. And there's repercussions. And there's bad guys, and there's secret bad guys. And I mean using guys in the male-female term.
Nope, you're referring to like 1930s vernacular.
Oh, okay. Yeah, guys.
Yeah, guys.
It all comes together, and the first 5 issues is pretty much set. I do leave a couple open questions, and ones that I'm actually exploring in the second book, and we're setting the second book up for a third.
I felt that
5 issues.
It was good, mm-hmm. But it was sad.
Yeah,
it was just very sad.
You know, I was listening to that podcast, by the way. I'm a sad person.
Yes.
Okay. Some people, they draw stuff, and I'm guessing that the people that draw Archie are regularly happy people. I would like to think this. I don't know them personally, but they seem rather
joyous. We've met Craig and Dan.
Right. And I think overall, I make jokes, and I can be in a good mood, and I have a lot of things that make me happy in life. However, when I express myself in artwork, if you look at a lot of Gemini Serial stuff, there's a lot of sad stuff.
Yeah, but it's almost diametrically opposed to your art style. Because when I think Justin's drawing something, I mean, you draw a hell of a Robin. Uh-huh. You draw cute little girls. I mean, you draw cheerful, youthful, innocent people extremely well. But then you destroy them in your stories. You ruin their lives, panel after panel after panel.
You know, when I was doing the Man Cube stuff, when I got to the third part, I had some really sad stuff, and I was told at the time to not produce it. I was told I had to change it. I had to keep changing it, and I'd keep on making it more lighthearted and something. Because I think I had dying at one point. I had all kinds of bad stuff. I like to torture my characters. I feel my life is really good right now. I mean, as long as, you know, I have a lot of positive stuff in my life. At the same time, though, I tend to like, I guess I find it therapeutic. I find stuff that I'm feeling internally, this overall sadness of other things. And I'm not trying to knock any positive thing in my life right now. I'm very fortunate for a lot of things.
Well, is the second arc of Tim Risen, is it going to be more positive? To reflect your life?
No.
Or are you still just going to beat the crap out of those people?
No. Let's talk about that real quick. I want to keep it very action orientated. But yeah, there's a lot of downer part. Maybe I'll redeem it with the third 5 issues where everyone dies.
But with a smile.
Yeah.
So much chocolate ice cream, I think I may die.
Well, I know the first page. I mean, the fifth issue is, I feel the fifth issue, albeit some sadness, overall has a good, the last issue of the arc is overall really a good story. And a real capper, a good bookend to that thing. And the first issue is kind of a James Bond, not a spying thing, but it's definitely a James Bond deal. That's actually the motivation I had.
You're setting up some pieces, you're putting things in play.
Yeah, yeah. And then the third issue arc is very
6, 7, 8.
Like a.
Or no, it'd be 7, 8, 9.
Our little big saga. If you will,
saga,
crisis, or whatever, you know, the ones that the comic books actually do something very epic. We're trying to do, there'll be sadness and more sadness. You know what? I'm gonna have Mike try to talk me down. That's what I'm gonna try to get Stephanie and Mike to try to talk me down. Get some happier
stuff. There'll be more sadness. You heard it here first. There will be more sadness.
He's responsible for all the Jews dying.
It's like, look at those people. They think they're better than us, huh, Adolf?
He killed Jesus. These are some spoilers. Hunger. Couldn't take care of it. He
came up with AIDS. He's the guy. He's like, I'm going to have sex with a monkey until I get sick. And then he's like, oh, look! I caught something.
What time period should I drop this into? How about the 1980s? I hate them.
Here's a little AIDS on you.
Oh boy! So
you go to hell, Freddie Mercury.
I killed off Queen. So yeah, I guess there is overall. I guess I'm sad. I'm trying to figure out who to describe that. I'm trying to think of any director that continues to do like. Sad.
Darren Aronofsky.
I love his stuff.
None of it's uplifting. I mean, there are moments in The Fountain.
I feel like The Fountain is really good.
The moments, but then in the end, it's like, yeah, you've lost her.
And then Requiem?
You're dead. Oh, that's the saddest movie ever.
It really makes me cry, but I love it. And I haven't seen Wrestler yet.
I saw part of that on cable.
What's the other one?
It's on FX.
He's doing Noah now.
And that's a sad movie, too.
Noah's got a good ending.
Who? I'm talking about the wrestler.
Yeah, no, he's doing Noah now.
Noah? Like,
yeah.
Bible Noah?
Like with Russell Crowe.
Why?
Because he's been working on it for a long time.
Russell Crowe does not strike me as Noah. He also doesn't strike me as a Jarrell.
I think that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah,
Okay. So I'm a sad artist.
Yeah.
Trapped in a happy body.
Yes. You have gleeful art. that you ruin with your own life experiences.
I draw the depressing life
of Charlie Brown. I want that to be the pull quote on the front of issue 6. Gleeful art ruined with life experiences.
I'll see if I can have...
So that's your description for Tim Rice and the Crowd.
I don't even remember what it was. I guess,
yeah. We were describing our comics to people.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'll describe Clover Vance, and you can tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
And point out the insights revealed.
I haven't read it.
Clover Vance, it's 112 pages. It's the story of the Greek gods of Ohio. The main character's Clover Vance. He's the illegitimate son of the Greek goddess Venus. He has a magic mouth. He bites you. You have to tell the truth. If he yells your name at somebody else, your consciousness inhabits their body. If he hums, he goes back in time. If he kisses somebody, he can pull out their life force. And he does odd jobs for the government to kind of protect his family. Because while they're in a trailer park, it's very much like an Indian reservation where this is the lot you've been given.
Mm-hmm.
Stay there, deal with that, or there will be consequences.
I think it's a great description. That's a lot better than when you give to people at conventions.
It's very close to the one I get. Well, I tailor it depending on the reaction of people at the conventions.
I was wondering because you tend to get too much away at conventions.
Maybe.
You go through the issue.
Well, I go specific. So I'm like, hey, you know, he fights Cthulhu-style monsters on 675. And, you know, I like I said, I try to tailor it to the person. If it's some sort of, like, skeezy-looking guy that comes up, I'm like, hey, he tries to stop the Pope's granddaughter from getting impregnated on the top story of the Empire State Building. You know, I tailor. There are certain moments I pluck out for different types of people.
I should use that. This is where a bunch of kids die.
If you turn a few pages, here's where an old man cries.
this is where more people die.
If you go back to the beginning, here's a woman sitting cold in the rain. These are the highlights of the book. Someone's uncomfortable, someone's happy, someone dies, someone's sad.
You look like a woman that's been abandoned after sex. This happens in this issue.
You can relate.
Oh, boy.
And then I have Iron and Ink.
Sorry.
Which, it's kind of a Western.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. Which, the more I work on it, the more I write. It's more about defining identity of people. Not based on personal experiences, but based on decisions that they make. And, like split-second decisions.
I'm very excited for issue 2 to read issue 2.
It's getting a lot deeper than I intended it to. Which is why the thing with Mike, I just want it to be fun, flashy. Because Clobber got sad. I mean, talking about you doing sad stuff, Clobber ended pretty sad.
Yeah.
And the character who goes through with their own annihilation saw it coming, too. I mean, there's plenty of subtext in there about, you know, you had your opportunity, and he's like, well, I had to try. I mean, he sees that coming, and he sees everyone around him not appreciating him and not loving him. And I don't know, the book's about jealousy and failure.
I think you need sadness to end a book.
I don't know if you need to
end the book. Well, close to the... Actually, that's something I want to talk about on our next podcast.
Which is coming up soon.
Yes.
What else we got? I think we'll just tag out.
All right.
So this has been episode 36.
36.
It's been probably the most pointless episode thus far. We haven't mentioned Lou Ferrigno one single time. We did chat uncomfortably about Cincinnati yet again.
Sorry, that was my fault.
I mean, at some point, those people just need to pay us money.
Next one should be called Listen to Our Stuff.
Listen to Our Stuff. Buy Our Stuff. Listen to Our Stuff. So that's it. We're good.
That's it.
BruceLeeHughes.com, JustinWassey.com. We're both on Facebook.
Yes, that's right.
At least half of us is active on Twitter.
Break in Twitter something.
I tweeted once ever. I have links to all this on the podcast.
iTunes.
It works.
I know.
It just doesn't send subscription things every time. Which two other podcasts I listen to is no problem. So it's just...
another day.
BrucelHughes.com